probably all heard over the years the old saying that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Now, what is meant by that is it doesn't matter how strong the other links may be, how much weight they might bear, if there is a flaw somewhere, if there is a weakness somewhere, when the pressure is put on and the weight is put on, then that chain is going to break at that point of weakness. The exact same thing is true in our spiritual life. There are some spiritual habits or some spiritual disciplines that strengthen us, that help us, that encourage us to grow spiritually and make us strong spiritually. And we're going to look at six of them in the next couple of weeks. But the reality is this. It doesn't matter if five of those habits, five of those spiritual disciplines are thriving in your life, when the pressure comes, if there is a flaw somewhere, if there's a weakness somewhere, if one of those spiritual disciplines isn't what it should be, then that's the place that it's going to show up. That's the place where the pressure and the weight and the strain of life is going to cause us to break. So we're going to talk this next few weeks about six goals that we have for every member. Now, we've entitled the series, The Weakest Link. And I promise you, I'm not going to stand up here and look at anybody and go, Bill, you are the weakest link. You're out of here. Okay, I'm not going to throw you out. Our goal is to encourage you. Our goal is to think through where these different areas can be strengthened in our life. Now, as we look at these six different goals and we talk about them, they very easily could be misinterpreted. We're going to talk this morning about worshiping weekly. So you could look at that and you could go, well, Pastor, I know that that's not really about me. That's about you. Worshiping weekly says you just want everybody to be here, because then the church is full and it looks good and you enjoy talking to more people and all that kind of stuff. So you could read into it some ulterior motives if you want. But the reality is that what we want to do and what I want to do, and one of the reasons we've incorporated these six habits into our membership class and into the goals that we have for all of our members, is that I firmly believe that these are the six spiritual disciplines. These are the six spiritual habits that will help you become the person, the kind of Christian, the kind of individual that God wants you to be. As a matter of fact, here, as I thought about it, and if you look at your bulletin this morning, you'll see the six of them listed in there. I sat down and I kind of thought through it. I thought, you know what? If you take an individual, any person who knows Christ and who wants to live for Him, and you know what? They are worshiping weekly. They are maturing measurably. They're actually spiritual growth taking place in their life. They're giving generously of their time, their talent, their treasure. They're investing themselves in others. They're gathering together with others in a small group where they're being encouraged and where they're being empowered by other people and walked with and helped along the way. If they're serving on some kind of ministry team, they're investing their life serving God and serving other people. And if they're sharing their faith both where they live here closely and then far away, if you have people who are doing those six things, guess what? You have a strong, vibrant, spiritual life. That's the foundation of everything else. So that's what we're looking at in this next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about the weakest link, six goals that we have for every individual. And this morning we're going to start off with the first and the most foundational of all the links, okay? I'm going to talk to you this morning about worshiping weekly. I'm not talking about worshiping, once a month I'm going to be able to get out of bed and I'm going to make it. And I'm not talking about worshiping, you know, every other week. Aunt Susie's not in town this week. I'm talking about a spiritual commitment that says, unless God providentially hinders me. Now, that's old school language, isn't it? What that means is no, it's just not a matter of I don't feel good this morning, or, you know, it's been a busy week, or I'm tired. Unless God intervenes to keep you away from worship, you make a spiritual commitment that says, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to allow God to speak to me because I understand the importance of weekly worship. I understand the importance of meeting with God and programming that into my schedule on a regular basis. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about not what you should do, because we all know, hey, we should be in worship. But I want to talk with you about why you should do it. I want to talk with you about the benefits that accrue in your life, the kinds of things that happen in your heart and in your life when you make that commitment and over a period of time you are engaged in weekly worship. Okay, so we're going to be talking with you this in this sermon about eight benefits of worshiping weekly. Now, what does that mean when you see that 8 up there? That means a long sermon, doesn't it, Bill? No, it doesn't. I bet I can talk faster than you can write. Okay, let's see. What time is it? It's 9:53. What time do you want me to be done? I'm going to put him on the spot. What time do you want me to be done? 10 o'clock. No, I can't go that fast, okay? Worshiping weekly takes longer than 6 minutes, okay? It's now 9:54. 10 what time? 10:25. I think I can beat that. 8 benefits of worshiping weekly. Okay, if you got your Bibles, turn with me if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. It's one of the most foundational passages on worship in all of the entire Bible. You have the book of Isaiah. You have the prophet Isaiah, one of the great Old Testament prophets. And he's speaking to us about what happened in his heart when he went to worship. Here's the first thing that I want you to understand about weekly worship. I'm just going to give you the WW, okay? That's weekly worship. Weekly worship regularly puts us in the most likely place to hear from God. Regular worship puts us, weekly worship puts us in the most likely place to hear from God. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, in the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." The sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." I want you to focus on just a couple of words there. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord." I'm looking up there at that purple. And can you read that from where you are? No. I'm going to have to change it for next week, aren't I? You know what? Who's back there? Ron, can you sometime in the next couple of minutes go in there and just put a highlight or a shadow or something on there that's... No? Maybe not? Maybe after the sermon, okay? I'll read it for you. Here's what we said. I can't even read it from here. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord." Isaiah says this. Isaiah, in this passage of Scripture, Isaiah has gone into the temple to worship, the equivalent of our church service. He's gone up to worship that day. And as he's arrived there in the temple, he's not expecting anything fantastic to happen. He came to church that day or the synagogue that day just the way that we do. He just showed up going, "Okay, God, I wonder what you have to say to me today." And in the midst of that, the Scripture says God encountered him in an incredible way. God stepped into his life and he said, "When I was there in worship that day, I saw the Lord." God intervened with him. Now, here's the reality. People say to me all the time, "Well, Pastor, I don't believe that I just have to necessarily be in church to talk with God. You know, I can worship God anywhere. I can worship him on the golf course. I can worship him on fishing and all those different kinds of things." Guess what? That's absolutely true. That is true. But that's not the most likely place that you're going to worship him. Okay? I've worshiped him on the golf course. I've worshiped him out, well, not on the golf course. I hate golf. Fishing. I've worshiped him fishing. I've wandered around on the golf course, and that's actually not good for my spiritual life, I don't think. But you get my point. The reality is this, that the most likely place that you are going to meet with God is the place that he has set aside, the place that he has designed, the place that he has intended for us to meet with him. Now, we meet with God in all different kinds of ways. Take a look at a couple of these different things here. Sometimes we meet God when we come to church in the sermon. We hear him there. Sometimes we hear him and we encounter him in a significant way in the music. Sometimes it's the other people. As we encounter them and we talk with them, we interact with them, they say something, they do something that encourages us and reminds us that God is there. Sometimes it's in the time of prayer. Sometimes the time of quietness before the service or after the service. Sometimes it's in the Bible reading when we're just reading. It has anything to do with what the speaker says. God just steps into our life and he just steps into our heart. And all of a sudden, we realize that we have encountered God. Listen, when we make a commitment that says, "God, I am going to make myself available to you every week. I'm going to put myself
in the place where I am most likely to encounter you. And I'm going to do that with a heart that says, I'm here, God. I'm ready to listen. I want you to speak with me and speak into my life and give me direction for where I'm at this week and what's coming my way. Weekly worship enhances and empowers our lives. So the first thing I want you to understand about weekly worship is this. It regularly puts us in the most likely place to encounter God. We're going to encounter Him in other places, but we're programming that into our schedule and we're programming that into our life because we understand the value and the importance and the significance of being available to God. The second thing I want you to notice is that weekly worship helps us be obedient to God's direction for our life. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together." It's actually a command, the way that it's structured in the New Testament Greek. It says, don't stop assembling together. Don't stop meeting together. Don't stop gathering together in worship. And he says, some people have started to do that. Now, in our culture, we don't spend a lot of time talking about commands. We don't spend a lot of time talking about directions. We don't spend a lot of time necessarily talking about God's expectations in our life. We've developed a culture that says, well, you know, I can kind of take the things that I like and leave out the things that I don't like. But listen, that's not the way to approach God, nor is that the way to approach God's Word. God does have some expectations for us. We just need to assume that there are some things in our life that God expects of us and wants of us and make ourselves obedient to that. I want you to take a look at this next slide up here because it talks about some of the way that God's expectations are expressed to us. First of all, it is the pattern and the command of the Old Testament. Kind of remember those Ten Commandments thing? Remember that from the Old Testament? Remember what? The Sabbath, to keep it holy. Now let's time out for just a second. Let's talk about the difference between the Sabbath and Sunday worship. Sabbath is when? Saturday, the last day of the week. It was the command of the Old Testament that all of the Jewish nation set that day aside as a day of commemoration of God's work in their life and a day of commemoration of God's creation and to withdraw from work and to reflect upon God's blessings in their life. Now, in the New Testament, we do not keep the Sabbath, okay? In the New Testament, we celebrate on Sunday, the first day of the week, as a commemoration of the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. And so while it is different, there is a tremendous number of similarities between the Old Testament Sabbath and the New Testament commemoration of the resurrection of Christ. We don't necessarily, quote, keep the Sabbath, but the principle is the same. The principle is that we, as God's creation, should slow our lives down and remember His blessing in our life. Remember His provision in our life. Remember that God is the one who created all that we see, and that He is the one that we are responsible to. Okay? So the second principle here that I want you to understand is that worshiping weekly makes us obedient to God's direction for our life. It's the pattern and command of the Old Testament. Back up a little bit. It's also the pattern and the command of... No, that's the one. Go back to that other slide. No, the next one up, the four. One, two, three, four. There we are. It's the pattern and command of the New Testament. It's the pattern of the New Testament Christians. When you begin to deal with the New Testament and you begin to read through it, what you discover is that it was the pattern all the way through the New Testament that they met on the first day of the week. Somewhere in the third, fourth, fifth chapter of Acts, very, very early in the formation of the church, there was kind of a division between all of those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and kind of moved out of the synagogue, and all of those who did not believe that He was and stayed in the synagogue. And so after a period of time, after, you know, probably no more than a year or two after the formation of the early church, there's this division that began to take place, and they moved out of the synagogue and they went into homes and to other places. But early on in the book of Acts, they were meeting regularly in the synagogue. It's also the example of Jesus' life. Jesus did this on a regular basis. We're going to take a look at this in just a moment when we talk about worshiping weekly makes us more like Jesus. But there are only three things that Jesus did on a regular basis. Three things that Jesus did habitually. And worshiping weekly
was one of them. It's the command of God in Hebrews, Hebrews 10:25, which says, do not forsake, do not give up, do not stop meeting together. We don't spend a lot of time talking about expectations and requirements from God. It is, but I'm just going to give it to you. It is God's expectation that you as his child withdraw from the busyness of life regularly and make room in your life, make room in your schedule, make room in your heart for him, to hear from him, to allow him to speak into your heart and speak into your life. And that's what Worshiping Weekly does. Third thing that Worshiping Weekly does for us is it makes us a little bit more like Jesus. I just referred to that just a moment ago. But the scripture says this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. Now look at that last little phrase. You can't read it because it's in purple. As was his custom. Three things, and only three. If you go back and you search the entire New Testament and you look at the life of Jesus, there are only three things that Jesus did customarily. He did it habitually, the word means. He did as by force of habit. It's the spiritual habits that he built into his life. Now, it's just a thought, but if these are the three habits that Jesus built into his life, the single most important man, single most significant man that ever lived on the face of the earth, whether you believe in him as Messiah or Savior or not, he has had more influence than anyone in the world. These are the three things that he did. Just a thought, you might want to incorporate them into your life. Okay? He went alone to pray. He withdrew. And even people who don't believe spiritually or have any kind of commitment to Christ understand the importance of withdrawing from the world and meditating and being quiet and listening. Jesus went alone to pray. Now, he talked about a very specific kind of prayer. Second thing that he did habitually was he served people by preaching and teaching. This passage in the scripture where it says Jesus was walking down the road one day and he was having this big crowd follow him. And so he went off to the side and he began to teach them as was his custom. Jesus prayed alone. Jesus served people by preaching and teaching them. And Jesus went to the synagogue. He went to our equivalent of church regularly on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, the scripture that we just read a moment ago said. Making time in your life for weekly worship makes you more like Jesus. I'm going to beat that. I'm going to beat 10:25. You wait, because I'm almost halfway done. Okay, number four, weekly worship. Maybe we should do this every week. You know, you can win this way, can't you? Weekly worship helps us start our week off with the right perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 says this. Let's see if I can read it. I have to get up close. On the first day of every week, the Apostle Paul says, he should take an offering together. Here's what's going on in Corinthians. Paul is traveling around to these different churches that he has started. And the mother church back in Jerusalem is going through a difficult time. There's a famine that has swept through that area. And people literally are starving to death because they don't have the kind of social system that we have in our country. And so people are starving to death. And so the Apostle Paul, as he travels to these different churches that were funded and that were started and that were helped to begin by the church back in Jerusalem, he's saying to them, listen, would you consider helping the people who helped you get underway and help you get started? And so he's taking an offering to go back to Jerusalem and to buy food and provide for the church in Jerusalem. And so in 1 Corinthians 16, he's writing them a letter, and he's basically saying, okay, guys, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm going to be there I'm on my way to Corinth, and I'm going to be there in a few days. And go ahead and take the offering up and get it ready so that when I get there, it's not going to be a big deal. On the first day of the week, the assumption being on the first day of the week when you gather for worship. And so here's what happens. If somebody comes to you and they go, you know what, this church over here in that area is just really struggling. Would you help them out? The first thing that you do, if you're like me, this individual over here is struggling, and would you consider helping them out? The first thing that we almost always do is we look at ourselves, and we go, well, how am I doing? What do I need? You know, am I in a position to be able to help? Am I in a position to be able to provide? Am I in a position to be able to give? And see, what happens when you gather in worship on a regular basis is it takes your eyes off of you. And it gives you a different perspective. It reminds you that what's going on in your life is not all that is happening, but
But there's a bigger picture out there. And there's other things that might be. Now, God forbid that we might actually believe this, but there may be other things going on that's more important than what's going on in my life. Oh, no. There may be a bigger picture. There may be other people who need my help, that need something more than I do. And you see, that's what Worshiping Weekly does. It gets our eyes off of ourselves, and it brings us back into focus with God, and it helps us open our eyes to see beyond where we live, because there is more going on around us than just what is taking place with us. And to start off our week with the right perspective, to walk in on Sunday morning, okay, God, this is what's coming up. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm thinking about what's taking place. I'm looking at my day timer. Well, that's a little bit dated, isn't it? I'm looking at my BlackBerry to see what I've got on my schedule this week. And I see all this stuff, and I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. And I'm going to need your help. It gives you a different perspective when you take time to put God first in your life and to allow Him to speak into your life. That's a little of what Jesus was saying to us in the Lord's Prayer. Listen, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We haven't even got to us yet, have we, Mark? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's a totally different perspective. It's not all about me. And that's one of the things that Worshiping Weekly does. It gives me a different perspective and a more accurate perspective. Perspective on life. Is that four? How about number five? Okay, let's try that. Number five. Okay, you're going to like this one, guys. Worshiping Weekly makes us more productive. Henry Ford did early on when he started the mass assembly process. He started off with, guess how many days a week of work? Seven. You know what he discovered? Productivity went down. A seminal study done on the Ford factories. And what they discovered is this: you get more done in 6 days of work than you do in seven. Quality and quantity go down when you don't take a break. Have you learned that yet, guys? You put your nose to the grindstone and you just get in there and you just work and you just work and you just work and you just work and you do more and more and more and more. After a while, that little burnout process starts. It shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. God told us that. God said, listen, if you will withdraw from work, if you will withdraw from the engagement with the world, and you will put me first in your life, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. God says, listen, you put me first. And this is a principle, this is a spiritual principle that's true of your time, it's true of your work, it's true of your money, it's true of every, this is a spiritual principle that holds true in all of life. You honor God, God honors you. You ignore Him and live like He's not there, pay the consequences. Isaiah chapter 58, we won't take time to go there and read it this morning, but go back and look at the first couple verses of Isaiah chapter 58. God speaks very directly to the children of Israel and the importance of the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath. And basically says to them, listen, if you will do what I've asked you to do and you will honor me in that way, then I will make sure that you have everything that you need. But you turn your back on me and you walk away and you just depend on what you can do and you think that you have to produce it all. I'm going to let you go on your own and let me know how that works for you. Okay? Worshiping Weekly will make you more productive. And not only that, but it'll make you nicer too. It will help you become more the kind of person that you want to be. But from a selfish viewpoint, Worshiping Weekly makes you a more productive person. Number six, Worshiping Weekly keeps us from straying too far spiritually. Now, let me just give you the personal understanding that I developed early on, and then now I've seen that lived out year after year after year in my ministry. The times in my spiritual life that I have been furthest from God are the times when I have ignored worship and the importance of gathering together and hearing with other people from God. And over and over and over during my ministry, what I have noticed is this. The first step away from God is a step away from regular worship. You go back and you chart. You go back and you look at your spiritual life, and I promise you that what you're going to discover is this. When you are less regular in worship, you begin to drift, you begin to stray, you begin to move a little bit further away from Him. That's what Isaiah did. Isaiah went into worship and he thought everything was in pretty good shape. And then the scripture says, I saw the Lord, and my response is, once I saw Him, woe is me. I cried. I'm undone. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah did this. He saw God, and you know what else he saw? He saw himself. And that's one of the things that weekly worship does for us. It keeps us from straying too far spiritually. Have you ever noticed that when there's something going on in your life and you're beginning to drift a little bit away from God and perhaps there's a behavior in there or there's an issue or there's a struggle that you're having, the more that begins to consume you, the less attraction you have for worship. And the less committed you are to being regularly in His presence. Because what happens is when you get into His presence, and that also throws a little bit of light into your life as well. And when we worship regularly, it's possible to sit and worship. Trust me, I've done it. It's possible to sit and worship and to sing the songs and pray the prayers and do all the different kinds of things that are associated with worship and have your heart far from God. You can do that. I've been there, done that. But it's a lot harder to do that in church than it is to do that at home. Worshiping weekly keeps us from straying too far spiritually because what it does is it begins to bring us back into focus and helps us to realign our lives and put us back into perspective and back into touch with Him. Number 7, worshiping weekly teaches our children and reminds us of what is really important. It teaches our kids, but it also reminds us of what is really important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, we all want the very best for our kids. We want them to be, you know, healthy. We want them to be wise. We want them to have a good education. We want them to enjoy their sports programs and all those different kinds of things. We all want the very best for our children. Listen, the very best you can give your child is a training in character development, moral development, and spiritual commitment to God through Jesus Christ. That's the very best thing you can do for them is to provide that kind of foundation. We also should want them to understand and have the ability to process spiritually what God is saying to them. I looked at the kids up there this morning and I thought to myself how seminal that Vacation Bible School was in my life. How important that was. Well, I won't tell you how many years ago. Many, many years ago when people invested in me the way that some of you invested in these children this week. That formed me into a lot of the individual that I have become over the years. And in my family, I just got to tell you, this concept of training our children, I have two girls. I have one that's 23, I have one that's 21. Both of them are honoring God with their lives. Both of them love the Lord. Both of them are engaged in following Him on a regular basis. And I believe that a part of that is that in our home, going to church was never even a discussion. It was never even an option. Now, part of that, we will also give credit to all those of you over the years who have taught and trained them, because our church is a place where they like to come. I heard a story this week of one of the little girls who was going home from Vacation Bible School, and the one who was driving her said to her, this is going to be over at the end of the week. She started crying because she was having such a good time. She didn't want it to be over. Church doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be, a drag. It doesn't have to be something that wears us out. But it is absolutely important that we make that commitment that honoring God with our lives and being in a place where we can hear from Him is one of the most important and fundamental elements of our life. Uncle Bob comes into town, and so we stay home. Here's a thought. Here's what I used to do when my friends, my family, my brothers and sisters, and most of them are not believers, so they don't go to church at all. We're leaving for church at 9:30. We'll be home at 12:30. We'd love to have you come with us, but if you don't, we'll be back. We'll go out and have some lunch. That's okay. Uncle Bob's in town. He doesn't like to go to church. Okay, stay home, Uncle Bob. See you when I get back. Novel thought. Is that being rude? No, that's honoring God. Now, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, That's what I'm about. My kids used to hate it when we went on vacation. Because guess what we did when we went on vacation? We went to church. They thought they were good when we went to the campground. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, most campgrounds have, like, a service. You know, one Sunday it was me, my wife, my two girls, the pastor at the campground on the table, and his wife, and, like, one other person, like, eight of us. And they're like, Dad! A lot of sadness in the world. We're going to church. There is, you know. We're going, that's what we do. We go to church. Next week, we were in a church of 10,000 people. I said, is that big enough for you? How's that work, you know? And it's great because they get exposed to different, you know, and you know what? It doesn't always have to be Baptist. Yeah. It's okay. Guess what? Some Presbyterians and Lutherans love Jesus too. It's okay. It's kind of healthy for them to see. And not everybody plays a saxophone. Sometimes they have an organ and a piano. You can worship God that way? Yeah. Probably not as good, but you can do it that way. I'm just teasing. Okay, I'm just teasing. Different people worshiping. Worshiping weekly teaches our children, and it reminds us of what is really important. Because listen, life is tough. It's hard. And if you aren't careful, it will consume everything in your life. And worshiping weekly brings us back and says, okay, God, you really are in charge. You really are there. You really do care what's going on in my life. That gives me a different perspective, and it reminds me of what is important. Finally, worshiping weekly connects us with others in a way that connects us with others that will support and encourage us spiritually. Hebrews 10:25. Let me read the end of that verse that I referred to earlier. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Worshiping weekly puts us in a place where, and I know that you're not all perfect, okay? Neither am I. But it puts us in a place with people who have the same focus, who have the same goals, who have the same direction, who have some of the same values and some of the same commitments. And it says, help me become what God wants me to be. I have a small group that I meet with on a regular basis. If I need someone to pray for me, and not just say, I'll pray for you and then forget about me during the week, you know, because that's what a lot of us do, right? Not you? Am I the only one? That happens, doesn't it? You know, how you doing, Paul? Doing really good. You know, I got this one thing. Would you pray for me? Oh, sure. I'll pray for you. Then next Sunday I see him coming. I'm like, oh, man, I need to go this way because I forgot to pray for Paul. You know? If I need somebody to pray for me, I know who to call in my group. If I need a word from God, if I just feel like, you know, I'm praying and I'm listening to God and he's not saying anything to me today. You know, it's just silent. If I need to hear from him, I know somebody else that I can call in my small group. Seems to have a hotline, you know. Wow. He's always got something to say. I need some wisdom in a particular area. I've got somebody I can call. I need some leadership help. I've got somebody I can call. Worshiping weekly connects us with other people that will support us and encourage us spiritually and help us be what we want to be, and what God wants us to be. Six goals for every member. One of the most fundamental and foundational is worshiping weekly. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. First chain up here, first link up here is worshiping weekly. If your life, spiritual life, is a little bit anemic, your spiritual life is a little, you know, weak right now, then it may be that commitment to meeting with God and making yourself available for him to speak into your life is something that you need to revisit and make sure that that's not the place that's going to cause a break when the pressure of life comes. I beat you by 2 minutes.
I want you to just kind of take a little opportunity as we show this next little video and just reflect on what God might be saying to you this morning. As you've come and you've made yourself available to Him, reflect on what God might be saying to you about the importance of worshiping Him and making yourself listen and available to Him on a regular basis.